When you look at some of the other goalies that are entering the market now in terms of the free agent market, and Jack is in that category, Jack Campbell, that's the problem that Toronto, I think, has, and other teams might have. But if Campbell goes to open market, you know, is he going to get $6 million? He probably will get $6 million. He probably will.
You're Jonas Siegel there on Overdrive. Oh, boy. Talking about Jack Campbell and Darren Dreger's comments there that probably will get $6 million as a free agent. And it could be a tough ticket for Kyle Dubas and the Toronto Maple Leafs to swallow. And a ticket probably they're not willing or able to swallow. Let's bring in our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson, into the conversation. MJ, what's going on?
That's a great reaction. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
listen, I guess it's a good time to be Jack Campbell or a good time to be a free agent, because there's the Kevin Fiala contract will have Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk and Philip Forsberg smiling. Cause
no kidding. How about Nazem Kadri?
Nas as well. And Jack Campbell getting tossed $6 million around. That would make him smile as well. I'll be curious, because we still do have probably two more years of a flat cap. So, you know, teams will have to, you know, accommodate the flat cap, then know what's going to go up eventually. So it'll be to see how they respond this next couple of weeks and what kind of deals they can offer up. But remember, what was it, 2 years ago? Markstrom was one of the best goalies in the league the entire year. He got a $6 million contract. Mm-hmm.
Grubauer got $6 million last year.
Yeah, and he was coming off one of the best. Yeah, and it didn't work out very well there. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think Toronto goes Jack Campbell for $6 million. I just don't think they go there with him. But
they can't.
You know, if Campbell can get that from one of the teams, and that's the thing, because there's good teams like Colorado, Toronto, Edmonton, that legitimately need a starting goaltender. And then there's rebuilding teams like Detroit or Buffalo that also need a starting goaltender.
New Jersey.
You know, five or six teams that need and have money to spend on a starting goaltender. So that's the good news for Jack Campbell. Maybe not so good news for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Look, we all know what the path that Jack Campbell took to get to the NHL, and this is his chance to cash in. By all means, go ahead and do it. But, you know, for the Maple Leafs, I don't think they can afford to go that high with him. But what's your alternative to the Maple Leafs goalie situation? We're hearing names like Matt Murray recently. You know, you're hearing names like Mackenzie Blackwood being linked to the Maple Leafs if there's a trade with Jack Campbell there. What direction do you think they go?
Well, I mean, I think the goaltending probably takes a couple different things, right? Because if you're going to get a different goaltender, you not only have to go get that goalie, whether it's via free agency or trade, you also have to then shed Peter Mrazek as well, right? Like, you can't have a $4 million backup. The Leafs just can't. They just can't allocate that much money. So first, trade Mrazek. If you're going to walk away from Jack Campbell, then I would imagine, that they'd probably kick some tires on Ville Husso, because he probably will be a little bit cheaper if they believe in him. Although he's only played 60 games, so we'll see how much what the marketplace will bear for him. Yeah, I think Mackenzie Blackwood would intrigue the Toronto Maple Leafs because he's on a good value contract. Maybe they think there's something more there than what happened last year, where he just had so many injuries and COVID situation and everything else, that you might be getting some built-in value of that contract. I don't love, Darcy Kemper, or, the free agents out there, they're all going to cost a lot of money. One name, if you want to go short term, what about Varlamov? Yeah. You know, you could trade for him. Sorokin's the starter in the island. He's got one more year. He's proven to be a really good goaltender. He's played for good teams. It's a short term solution, but if you can't commit or won't commit long term to one of the guys, maybe Varley might be an option as well. So I'm sure they'll explore all of those depending on the cost to acquire and cost to pay. But the Blackwood one's interesting, though. I could see them just looking around the landscape saying that guy is undervalued right now because of injury and because of his, the COVID and the vaccine and everything else. Maybe they can lock in some value on Blackwood and tap into his upside that everyone thought he had heading into last year.
I do wonder, Mike, if the Leafs would be willing to trade an asset to bring a goalie in and trade an asset to get a goalie out in Mrazek. Right. So you're kind of, you know, that's a lot of assets you're parting with to address your goaltending situation. But we talked about Matt Murray extensively earlier in the show, a guy who's won some Stanley Cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins, has a pedigree, but has really struggled over the last couple of years with the Ottawa Senators. What is your evaluation of his game at this point in time?
Hey, Caleb, you can't deny the track record. Resume, the accomplishments. I've watched him for a few years in Ottawa, and he just hasn't been healthy, and he hasn't been consistently good enough. Now, Ottawa's not a good defensive team, so that would change a little bit when he plays for Toronto, but it doesn't. Like, the performance, it would. You think you're unsure of what you're going to get with Jack Campbell. Well, yeah. Matt Murray would be that time.
No
whatever.
Thanks, man. No thanks.
Like, the same question marks would be there. Like, can he stay healthy? Even if he's healthy, will he be good enough? You'd be really rolling the dice on a guy who already makes six. And unless Ottawa eats some of his salary, you know, you'd explore other options if it's going to be for the full contract before Matt Murray. I can't think that he would be near the top of the list. He just hasn't been able to be good enough, often enough in net the last couple of years to feel comfortable hitching your wagon to that guy. Because remember, Toronto has how many more years of Austin Matthews? I hate to bring it up, but they have two more years of Austin Matthews, right? Yeah. So that's going to go very quickly. You have 2 years to try to take a run with this group before who knows what's going to happen. And so you're trying to eliminate as many question marks as possible. And Matt Murray still has a lot of questions about how good he could be.
So the question marks that still surround the Maple Leafs is, what do they do to make this team better? Do they break up a piece of the core? Do they make a big impact trade? And you just look at the Fiala deal that he just signed, where he just signed for under $8 million a year. And you look at Colorado and how they got to, you know, hoisting the Stanley Cup 5 years after they were the worst team in the league. And prior to that, they traded guys like Duchesne and O'Reilly away, and they're still Stanley Cup champions. William Nylander is a guy that makes under $7 million and is probably one of the best value contracts considering what these guys are going to get paid. Is he a guy that they think twice about, or is he a guy that they're still saying, if we get the right offer, we pull the trigger?
You just said it, though, Carlo. I mean, in a cap environment, really what your entire objective is in putting together your team is getting guys who outperform their contracts. So you just said that Kevin Fiala is not as good as William Nylander. Hasn't been, and is not. And so, he's making $1 million
Johnny,
more. So why would you want to trade a guy who's outperforming his contract? I don't think you can.
Before you move any further with this, when you saw that Fiala deal, what was the first thing that came across your mind?
He's going to love Hollywood. He's going to have a good time.
I had to shake my head and make sure that I was reading the numbers right. I'm like, what? Really? $8 million for Fiala? But
timing, isn't it? One amazing run in the second half of the year where he put up about 50 points in 40 games the second half of the year with Matt Boldy on his wing. But, you know, he's a .7 per game. So whatever that is. He averaged 55 points per game in his career per 82-game season. Then he lit it up last year where he was over a point a game, I think he was, when it all said and done. That's the marketplace. Like, what's Johnny Gaudreau thinking? I was like, good for him. And, I mean, the LA Kings have cap space. Dustin Brown's retiring. They have a whole bunch of young players. They have the room. Even, you know, a couple of years down the road, Kopitar will go down. Like, they have, Quick's going to be off the books. They have the flexibility to absorb that up until the cap starts going up. Because when the cap jumps to, and it might jump in 2 years to, like, $90 million, you know, everyone gets a little bit more room there. So they have the room to absorb it until the cap goes up. But it's a lot of money for a guy who's had a great year last year and is a very good player, no question. But $8 million. That is so much. I was shocked when I saw that. Yeah, but I think it tells you what offense will cost. Guys who can produce offense. So all those other guys, and it makes the deals of guys like William Nylander that much more sensible. You're like, okay, well, you know, if that's what it costs to get Fiala, we'll take our Nylander at $7 million and everything else. So I was talking about Johnny Gaudreau yesterday. I'm like, well, Gaudreau historically has been better. Last year has been better. Same kind of one-dimensional offensive winger, but just much, much better at it. Gaudreau's going to get 10, isn't he? I mean, you see him at 8. Gaudreau's going to get 10 from somebody or very close to it.
Well, and I think that's a question that a number of guys will be facing. You're thinking about Nazem Kadri, Johnny Gaudreau, maybe Malkin, Letang.
Forsberg.
Philip Forsberg. Are you going to take a big contract from a team like Seattle or Detroit or one of these lesser thens? Or do you want to stay competitive and chase success, chase Stanley Cups, playoff victories? I think about Kadri in particular, and it doesn't sound like Colorado has any hope in hell in retaining him, just too cumbersome as far as their salary cap situation. But, I mean, I would expect there'd be a team out there paying Nazem Kadri close to $8 million a year, but is that team going to be competitive? And if I'm Kadri, you got to kind of find the middle between these two situations, no, Mike?
Yes. Listen, every player who's on UFA who has a chance is balancing finances, undeniably. They're balancing on-ice competitive opportunities, so what the team's going to look like for the next few years, and they're throwing in lifestyle. Like, what's that city like? Because usually by the time they become UFA, there are family considerations and some capacity. Where do you want to live? And I can't begrudge anyone for prioritizing any of those things over the other. Like, if Johnny Gaudreau wants to go play in Philly because he wants to be near South Jersey where he grew up, and even if Philly might not be good, like, I can't possibly say that's a bad idea. Like, that's your life. Like, that's, you want to be happy. It totally makes sense. And I can't begrudge Nazem Kadri says, well, I want to be really good, so I'll stay in Colorado and sign for $6 million instead of $8 million in Buffalo, let's say. You know, that also makes sense. And I can't begrudge Jack Campbell say, listen, I've only made, you know, $5 million in my career. I can't take a hometown discount on term and dollars to play for Toronto as much as I love them because I need to make money for my one chance. They all make sense. They all are probably decisions I would make as well. So, it depends on where you are. If you're Letang or Malkin with $100 million in earnings, maybe, you know, you can forego a million or two or three on your salary, and that makes sense for you. But it's all so very an individual decision. And for Nas, I think if he wants to stay in Colorado, he's probably got to go for something about six. Given the fact that he's coming on pretty paid contract for the last few years anyways with originally in Toronto at 4.5 or whatever it was, you know, he probably wants to get back and make the bank. And then you think, Carlo, I don't know what the answer is. Like, you've won one, right? Like, so you've got that. Yeah. So maybe, like, can you go to Buffalo or to Detroit or Ottawa and say, I'll take 8.5 for 7 years. Like, that's $60 million. Like, I think I'll take the $60 million as opposed to the $24 million, and I've won, and so that I don't need to chase a cup because I've already got one. We'll see what happens over the next 7-8 years of my life. It's a tricky conversation, but I understand every possible dynamic. I will say this, though. Nazem Kadri will likely, except for the age, contract as good as Kevin Fiala's or better. Just that he's a little bit older, so I'm not sure what he goes there. But I'll be fascinated to see what happens to him, what the marketplace is, whether it's Seattle, whether it's Buffalo, whether it's Detroit, Ottawa, you know, all Pittsburgh, if Malkin leaves. A lot of teams will need a second-line center, but Colorado will too, because I look at their roster, they don't have a second-line center waiting, unless it's Mikko Rantanen. Better on the
craziness.
Wing.
Craziness.
So Colorado needs him as well, so he's going to, he's in the catbird seat right now. He's going to be busy the next 10 days.
You said the cap going up $90 million in 2 years. I can just imagine what Austin Matthews' contract is going to look like. It's going to be insane.
I'm out nicely. Now, I can't, Carlo, think that Austin Matthews, like, read the tea leaves well enough. Like, oh, it's going to be, like, he didn't know it was going to be COVID and everything else, right?
I know.
But the fact that he signed his contract, whose term expires basically when the escrow debt is paid off and the cap will explode.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's going to be, he'll sign the biggest contract ever at that moment.
More than
Connor McDavid.
Yeah. Maybe McKinnon next, and then Matthews, then McDavid, no doubt. MJ, thanks for doing this, my man. Have a fantastic long weekend. We'll chat with you next week.
Boys, hit them straight. Enjoy the sun. Enjoy the long weekend.
You
all
too,
right,
buddy.
You got it. That's Mike Johnson, TSN hockey analyst. James Duthie standing by on the other side. Dylan Strome of the Chicago Blackhawks, a jam-packed third hour on the way next.